Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. We out here for All-Star Weekend at BrewDog Outpost. And we got some basketball royalty in the building. I first met this man, I was playing with the K-Swiss Pacers. You was on the older squad. We used to really look up to you, revere you as just a legend. Four-time All-NBA, Finals MVP and a champion. Played for the Celtics, unfortunately, but we know where your heart was. We know where your heart was. We got the truth in the building. Paul Pierce, what's going on with you?
What's up, y'all? What's up, baby?
So before we get into the nitty-gritty of the interview, I have to ask you, now that we got you here, you have one of the flossiest curls in L.A. hoops history. From Inglewood to
S curls.
Straight ass. I want to know, what product were you using back in those days to get the curl like that?
Hey, look, I ain't gonna lie. Once I put the S curl in, I started getting the girls.
He said,
Look, Jodeci. Remember Jodeci? They had the S curl. I said, let me get mine like that faded up. Ooh, that changed my life.
So you were inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2021, named one of the NBA's 75 greatest players of all time. When you were younger, did you ever think that your career would end up the way that it did?
Man, you know what? When you're younger, I don't even think you really think about it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a process when you're growing as a player. It's like, all right, I want to get to college. Mm-hmm. All right, once you get to the college, you're like, all right, I want to get to the league. And I just think you put in the work and you go as hard as you can. And at the end of the day, when it's all over, you see where you fall.
Yep.
And that's really what it is. You make your little short-term goals. Like I said, oh, I want to be, for me, being in the hood, you're like, all right, I want to go D1, Division One. Nobody was going Division One. You know, about if you got 100 kids in L.A., three of them going D1, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? High D1. And so that was the first goal. Then, you know, once I got there, I started believing I could make it to the league. And then when I got to the league, I'm like, shit, I could be one of the best.
Sure. So we're in Cleveland now, All-Star Weekend. You have some opinions of Cleveland.
I can't stand this city. I ain't going to lie. I had a lot of playoffs out here.
Yeah.
I had to sit miserable in that hotel with nothing to do. Then as an ESPN analyst, coming here four straight years. I ain't gonna lie, man. This is the worst city in America.
Hey, man.
Y'all can hate me. I'm used to being the villain anyway, so whatever.
Hey, what's funny is that I was saying the same thing. I was like, I played here three playoff series.
Yeah.
I was like, what did you do in Cleveland? Nothing.
I got food poisoning one time at one of these restaurants.
Oh, man. They MJ'd you? They got you with the MJ?
Straight up.
You're L.A., obviously, Inglewood, we love you, but you grew up in Oakland, moved to L.A. when you were like 11 years old. You say you didn't really like basketball that much kind of growing up. When did you fall in love with the sport?
Well, when I got to L.A., all my friends in L.A., that's all they did was hoop. You know, I grew up playing football and baseball. I was a big kid. My brother was into baseball. So, like, when I got here and I was in the school meeting friends, it was like that's all they did on the weekend in L.A. The kids, we walked to the playground on the weekend and we going to play basketball. So just like it's either you get in or get left out.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, shoot, I'm gonna start hooping. Then I joined the Inglewood YMCA because that's what all my friends was doing. It was like, yeah, we're gonna sign up for the Y. And I was like, all right, I'm in. So you know, that's what gathered my love for hooping. I played baseball and football all the way up until ninth grade. Then once ninth grade came, I just went full-blown basketball.
And you know, that's the difference between back when we was coming up, like, right? Now is everybody got trainers. Everybody got trainers and don't play basketball.
Right.
You know, so yeah, y'all probably have more skill, individual skill than us, but you wasn't better basketball player. We knew how to play because we played on the weekend. Soon as we woke up till they kicked us out of the gym or the lights came on, like we played all day basketball,
all
like
day.
Against grown-ups, against, you know, just.
See, this is what my observation of. Yeah, The players today for sure got more skills, but they lack the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
They lack the creativity. Think about it. Like, if you look at the game today, you don't see nobody like a Magic who just like, damn, he fun to watch. I mean, he fun watching, you know, all guys do is shoot threes now and dunk. Like, who's that player you just like, damn, like White Chocolate, Baron Davis, you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just had that creativity with their game. Because we played all the time. We played, we was in the park. We was in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see that no more.
And I be telling my son, I said, if me and you matched up, you're done. And I said, because the reason you're done is you're playing AAU basketball. I said, when we go to the park, you're just trying to get on.
Yeah.
And then when you get on, you don't have the ball in your hand.
Right.
You got to learn how to play with adults.
Right.
You got to back door. You got to set screens. You got to rebound. You got to do all this little stuff to add to them so they can pick you up next week. All that, right. You give me the rock and shooting, and this man, and then we lose. You got to sit 15 games. Adults ain't playing.
Nah, you got to go home. You got to go home.
Right? Hey. So you got to learn how to, that's like the first time you got to learn how to adapt. You know, you got to learn how to adapt. And then from there, once you start getting your own, you start working out yourself. You done played against this group. The Mexican group came in. The little Asian group came in. And you done played against, you know, right?
They don't understand what you're talking about,
y'all. You know, you
bro,
play.
Look, it was this park in Eaglewood. I would just go just to play against the Mexican homies.
Yep.
And I knew they was going to foul all day, and I couldn't call foul.
Yep.
So now that got me used to just playing with contact.
Playing with contact.
You know what I'm saying? I purposely used to do that on the weekend.
Like, that's what I said. You gotta be a real hooper to understand that certain times, certain groups came.
Yes.
Right? Certain groups came.
Yeah.
And then if you're a real hooper who's at the park, you're learning how to play. Like, yeah, you know, they picked me up early on this group. So,
I'm
going to be there early. This group, you know, I got to wait 3-4 games. This group, I'm going to have to wait 2 hours before I get a
late group. But you lose, you might as well go home.
Yeah, might as well go home.
You mentioned playing at the Inglewood Y. You know, for those that don't know, Inglewood Y produced a ton of ballers to come out of the city. But the gym was small as shit. Like, it was it was probably, like, a little bit bigger than a half
probably
court.
Probably only could fit, like, 20 fans.
Yeah, and then, you know, louder shit, the echo. But what do you remember about playing those Inglewood Y days and some of the guys you grew up playing against?
Man, let me tell you something. People don't even know what came out of the Inglewood Y. Myself, Baron Davis, Andre Miller, Jason Hart, Mil Palacio, like 5-6 pros. We all in the same era out of the Inglewood Y. And this is when I first met Baron Davis at the Inglewood Y. He was on a younger team. I was on an older team. And I was playing for the K-Swiss Pacers, a local team, traveling ball team. So I'm looking at this little sixth grader. He's dominating all these kids. I'm looking like, damn, we need a point guard. We need to pick him up right here. So I brought the coach down. We watched him. Weeks later, Baron, sixth grade, was starting on the eighth grade team.
Mm.
Oh, he was that good. I was like, this kid is amazing. He was dominant. I mean, he didn't look like he did. As a kid, you thought he was going to grow to be like a little skinny, short kid. He had the build of Allen Iverson, shorter than everybody, but faster than everybody, can get the ball up, handles. And he was amazing. And just to see, you know, us all grow up into pros from where we coming from, the bottom, it was just when you look back at it, it's crazy.
So you mentioned the K-Swiss Pacers, and, you know, you've told the story before, but I remember as a kid, I was on a super younger team, like 11, 12, and under. It was going into your senior year. They bring KG out. KG at that point was already kind of a star just in the basketball circuit.
Yeah.
This is back in the day. We didn't really know what was going on across the country. But KG came out, and you tell the story about how y'all was in the cab and y'all did the ditch. But how y'all set his big ass up like that? How long did it take him to get out that cab? He was like 7 feet at that time.
Before KG moved to Chicago, he was from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people know that. So he was a country kid. He came to the city, and before we even go to Vegas, I'm driving him down Crenshaw, you know, I'm trying to show him around. He like, this L.A., you know, I'm taking him in the hood. He like, so country hood is different from city hood. So he looking at this like, it's too fast paced. You know, we get him, it's me, guys like Sed Term. We all go to Vegas. We all on the squad. We shoot dice in the room. He looking at this like, okay, you know, KG country boy, dog. I'm talking about straight country kid. So we like, all right, we about to go to Circus. We all jump in. We don't even tell them we gonna run.
Mm-hmm.
But this is we've been doing this every year. Because we only, all between us all, we probably got $20 between 10 of us.
Yeah.
You know, I got $2, he got $5. He got, so we don't want to burn our money on the cab. We're going to burn it on the circus.
Yeah.
So we jump in, we go, we get the circus, are we here? I'm like, all right, we're going to dip as soon as he stop. So we open the door. He's like, what? And we all go running. He the tallest, right? So we go run. I remember we dip in. We hide in the store until the coast is clear. Man, when I tell you, when it was over, he was like, man, Pete, don't ever do that to me again. His heart going fast. I was like, man, that's how we do, man. We got to save money. And that was an introduction to, from a South Carolina kid to the West Coast boys.
So you said the cab ran out.
To the Cali kids.
Where's his big ass going to hide at is what I was always wondering. Like, he's 7 feet tall. Where's he going
to
duck
into? We went to, like, a bathroom, and then we went to, like, a store. Oh, no. That was
Vegas. That's what you did.
And just walking around circus all night. You didn't need no bread.
No bread. Just hearing clink, video games and everything.
Right.
Slide a little quarter in the slot machine real quick, try to, you know, come up real quick.
I did. One time we pulled the slot machine and we won, but we underage. So they came up, we couldn't get the money. So we had to run. Left the money going.
So let's fast forward now. You got the Truth EYBL squad. What does it mean for you now to give back to this next generation of LA Hoopers?
Man, I think that's everything for, you know, for the older generation who's done playing, who aspires a new generation. And I think it's important because, like, for me, I look at these kids today, and I run a program to where we don't baby our kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to teach them hard work. We're going to teach them a competitive drive and a family environment. Because I could have had major kids that's in the league today, mm-hmm. but they on a different path with the rest and the parents and the money behind AAU that I didn't ever go that route. I could have paid some guys to play with me. Mm-hmm. You know, guys like Jalen Green or a few other guys that made it to the league that was on my team for like a week or two.
Yeah.
It was like, you know what, we're not going to go that route. So it's cool for me to give back and give it to the kids that really want it, that really want to be nurtured about the game of basketball, about what it's really all about. And it's a way to give back to my community.
Yeah, you know, so funny, as you know, because you know, my kids are in AAU, it's like the bad habits that's in AAU are coming from parents that they have no idea. They kids never made it. They didn't make it. And it's like, how do you guys have all these answers and you have all these things that you're trying to put into this organization and you got all this and you have no study on it?
They're doing what everybody else doing.
And you're doing what everybody. Someone told you, I held my son back, this and this. Now you want to hold your son back? His son ain't producing that. His son sucks. His son is 16 in the eighth grade, right. Averaging 10. He ain't even dominating this. Right. Why are you listening to this?
Right.
I just sit there and watch this over. You got the platinum squad and the gold squad and the best 10 play. Like, I remember, like, if you play high school basketball, and you was a ninth grader, right? You just being on that team, we knew you were good.
Yeah, yes.
We knew.
Yes.
If you made a traveling team and you was on the ninth grade,
yep.
You was the shit. You was like, oh,
yeah.
Buddy must be real, because at that point, it's like you're traveling, so it's 11 grade seniors.
Yes.
Super sophomores. So,
yeah.
You know, so that's what made you good.
Right.
You know, now you're just breaking off 20 brackets just to make a kid feel good so you can get his money.
Yeah. You got the elite squad, the regular squad, and then I see what you're saying.
That's what I said. Like, with Pump, like, you have a big program. Pump, I was on the C squad. It was me and Dunleavy on the C squad. I don't even know what the A squad looked like.
Right.
I wasn't even good enough for the A squad.
So the C squad was the weak squad.
Yeah, we was C squad. It was the weak squad. That's what I'm saying. But two NBA players came from the C squad.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's why I never played against you in high school.
Yeah.
I wasn't on that level.
Well, I'm a couple years ahead of you too, though.
But like even Baron Davis, but I was never on a traveling team that was that good.
Trust me, you wasn't gonna play against my team. We was local. We wasn't going nowhere anyway. K-Swiss.
Yeah.
We going to Compton and Carson in Vegas. And
like Southern Cal All-Star, like.
Oh yeah, but I did play with California seniors.
Oh.
Ricky Price, Toby Bailey,
Jimmy,
I played with them. And like you said, I was the youngest on the team. I was just on the bench, you know, learning from them. Like, all right, They the top players in the country, but I'm getting to practice against them every day, and that's getting me like, all right, I'm getting motivated now. Now I'm watching to see what I got to do to get better. And that was good for me, and I developed from that.
And I think that's what's missing. They're creating so many teams, and it's all just watered down. Like, it's just so watered down that it doesn't even make it. It's like the Park League. It's like it's like a Vance Park League when before it was like, no, we got 10 spots. You got to make this spot. I don't care how old you are. You better make it. Like, all right.
What's the hardest thing about the AAU? And it ain't even got nothing to do with on the court. The parents.
The parents. That's why I don't want to coach.
The parents.
Because every parent, like, why you ain't playing my... Because he sucks.
I don't even know how he made it to AAU. I don't,
right.
Like, there's... Where's the farm stuff? Like,
right.
Your son should be at the Park League. Let's go to Calabasas Park. That's where he should be. You know, maybe when he gets a little older, he can try out for it. But he is not like, this is what you want me to play? And I'm like, I can't do this, man.
Right,
this is unrealistic basketball. I had a parent say, my son's going to get me out of the hood. He's 8.
Right.
He's 8 years old. What do you mean out of the hood? What kind of pressure does this kid have?
The game be changing because... The parents, you know, you got to look at your kid as an investment because when kids started coming out of high school, it was just like it sped up the process.
Yeah.
So now you started looking at kids all the way from like fourth grade.
Yep.
You know, before you didn't really look at a kid that young. You know, you started seeing around ninth grade.
Yep.
But once they started coming out of high school, you're like, damn, okay, at fifth grade, you got to start nurturing this kid.
Yeah. And that's what it is. Now it became such a business.
Exactly.
It became such a business, like, now you got these kids, like, which is hurting because you don't get no stability. Now this kid, the coach didn't play him. He just got on the team. The coach didn't play him the way he thought. Now he going to transfer.
Thinking
now he's going to transfer
sweet.
And train. Like, now he's not used to ever competing for anything.
Right.
And then when he makes it to the NBA and then the coach don't play him, he don't know how to react now. Now you wonder why this big stud in high school just fell apart in the NBA because he never had to stand on his feet.
Right.
Pops always push him to another team where, you know, he's getting baby. Like, nah, you got to go through a process. Get to the level, you got to go through a process.
Absolutely.
Do you feel like these kids have too much pressure put on? Because it feels like nowadays, it's like, he's the best first grader in the country. And it's like, y'all rating like 7-year-olds, like they, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it feels like it's way too much on that side of it. And I think that starts parents as, because it's like a competition early on. We didn't really have that until you got to high school.
Well, you got to understand, once they start getting good, the pressure come because now you got social media. Mm-hmm. Now you looking like, okay, you got this ninth grader got 1 million followers now. You know, you see a guy like Mikey Williams, the kid in high school. It's like now, it's like, he got to make it to the league, it's almost. And if he don't, man, you know what I'm saying? So the pressure is... You thought LeBron had pressure. The top kids now, they got pressure, especially if they looking at you like that. Then you getting paid, this NIL, they expecting you to be there. And if you don't make it, what does that do to that person?
I'm glad you said that because that's what people don't understand. You're putting so much pressure on these kids and you don't realize they have a thought process too. Mm-hmm. So when you're saying, are we going to hold you back to get you better, he mentally knows, like, I'm good, but I'm not good like him, and we're the same age.
Right.
We're the same age, and he's busting my ass, but I'm in a lower grade, so I'm number one. But mentally, he knows. Every time he sees that dude, his shit goes down a little bit. Like, so, like, if you're a high school kid right now, and you're 17 in high school, just 17, we're not even talking 18, 19. We're saying 17. The best 17-year-old in the country, the best two 17-year-olds country is Scoop. He's in the D-League. Imani Bates is in college. So if you're a junior in high school or sophomore in high school, those are the megalodons of your age group.
Right.
So
and you're still down here.
You're still down here. No matter if you're ranked number one, whatever. Yeah. Those are the two megalodons of your age.
Right.
When you meet them, they're going to be so in front of you that you're just going to just like,
Well, some guys is late.
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 You got to talk about the late blue.
And, you know, everybody's trying to give their son or
a chance,
or a player their best chance.
Yeah, the best chance.
And I'm not even mad at it because the money is too big now.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's a business, but the money too great. Think about this. Like, your role players is making 80 now. When we played, the stars is making 80. Yeah. Like, so if you got a chance to say, all right, I'll be a 3 and D, I'll hold him back. Mm-hmm. He's 21 years old in the 12th grade. He's going to get drafted, though.
Yeah.
He can make $10 million.
That's
good. Got it. So, you know, I feel both ways of it, and I'm not mad at it. Because think about it, as a young black kid, how else you going to make it out the hood? If you ain't got the grades, mm-hmm. you ain't hooping, rapping, you know, opportunities ain't there for us.
Yep.
So we look at our kids, athletes, as businesses.
Yeah, so I guess if you're trying to make it to college, get a free education, you know, yeah. But I tell parents, like, if you see your kid has super potential, mm-hmm. and you got to understand your genetics, to understand what he's going to look like, to understand, like, okay, he's going to be all of 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", yeah. you know, you got to prepare that too, to understand, like, you know what, I'm gonna let him go through the process, because I'd rather him, when he's turning into something, he's being pushed at it. Mm-hmm. He's been, you know, he's being challenged, so he gets to really fight for it. Like, you got these super kids. Like, you can see him early. You can see, like, okay, this man, he gonna be all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you can push him along. Like, you know, if you know, you got little genes, your son gonna be like, all right, let me hold him back, let him get a little stronger.
Right.
Let him dominate a little bit older, because college don't care how old he is. You know, if he can help, they're going to give him a scholarship.
Right.
You know, so I do understand that. So I tell some kids, like, yo, understand what your kid is and what he's going to be, mm-hmm. to know what decision to make. All y'all just can't fall under the same umbrella.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because you got to remember, if your kid's supposed to be a superstar, every year you hold him back takes away from that. Because you got to remember, if he's in eighth grade, instead of going to ninth to play against 9, 10, 11, and seniors to understand that battle, he's playing against the seventh grade that's coming up to him. They ain't going to teach him nothing.
Right.
So that means he loses a whole year of real skill development because of that holdback.
Absolutely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
So, Paul, I got to ask you. I heard this rumor. I need to know if it's true or not. But I think ninth or 10th grade year, did you check in at Crenshaw? And how long were you there for? Coach West told the story, but I need to know if it's true.
Yeah, I did check in at Crenshaw after my ninth grade year. Crenshaw was at the time going all year round. Inglewood's head coach. And this is why I checked in at Crenshaw, because I went off of varsity summer league. I made the varsity summer league. And we playing in the Watts summer games. At Compton College, I believe. So we play against Morningside, our rivals, Inglewood Morningside. So I get in the game. I don't play the whole game. This is the biggest game for the city.
Uh-huh.
I don't get in the game. 2 seconds left. He put me in while the other team is at the free throw line. Dude shoots. I box out to get the rebound, and I get elbowed in the eye. Game over. So I get in with 2 seconds left. I get a black eye and humiliated. And I'm like, I'm leaving. I can't play here. I can't play. You know what? This ain't what I want to play summer league for. And so a lot of my junior high coaches got jobs over there under Coach West's staff. Coach Stevenson, who was my junior high coach, he called me and was like, man, you should come over to Crenshaw. We got a spot for you. You gonna, I said, man, I just want to play. He said, you're going to play. I know what type of potential you got. I get there on tryouts. First day, the gym is packed. So I'm like, damn, you know, you don't even know who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach West, I didn't even know, he didn't even know who I was. I'm talking about, it's about 500 kids trying out at Crenshaw.
Yeah.
And then you had so many kids checking in.
Mm-hmm.
But what really threw me off was leaving school, catching the bus home. Crib. You know, I'm like, hold on. Man, is this really worth going here?
Yeah.
And they sweating me. I'm the biggest dude on the bus stop. So, you know, it's about 15 kids. So every time they drive, I'm dunking. Like, yeah, yeah, I hope they don't pick me out the crowd. I didn't want to go through that. I didn't have no friends there. I didn't want to, you know, get jumped every day. I was like, I need to go back to Inglewood. So my Crenshaw lasted about 2.5 weeks. I was out there playing a couple days, but I was more scared to go there because I didn't know nobody, and that's why I went back to Inglewood.
For sure. Yeah, my boy from the Valley, my boy Gary Looney.
I played with Gary.
Oh, you didn't play?
Yeah, me and Gary were that Crenshaw together.
Yeah, so I grew up with Gary in the Valley, you know, but he's from L.A., but I played with him in the Valley, and he used to tell me stories about the bus stop. He's like, bro.
The bus stop was wild.
He said, I got my Jordans on at the bus stop. He said, I'm walking home in socks.
You might get jacked.
Yeah, you push it in the locker and they rob the locker. Like, while you be working out, you come back and they somehow get into your shit and figure out the locker code.
And see, I don't know nobody.
Yeah.
If I got boys there, then I feel a little more comfortable. Since I don't know nobody, if I get beat up or I get jumped, I'm like, who? I got no boys. I get back to Inglewood, the guys I grew up with. I'm back over here. At least I'm comfortable over here.
Yeah.
But the reason I went back to Inglewood is because the junior varsity coach took the varsity job after the summer. He was like, come back. You know, you're going to be on the squad.
So you played JV your first year?
I played JV in the ninth grade.
Yeah, see, people don't, like, I said I was on JV my freshman year. I didn't play, though, but I was on it. But kids think, oh, man, I need to make varsity my first year. Like, some do, some don't. It don't really matter. Like, I know kids who played varsity 4 years, started varsity.
But even then, it was rare for a ninth grader to play
varsity.
To play junior varsity. I was the only ninth grader on junior varsity.
Because it was we had B's and C's back
then.
Yeah,
freshman, sophomore. You had four teams.
Yeah, so it was four teams. Like, it was, like, people, that's what I said, like, parents today, they're so stressful. Oh, yeah. And my son got to play it. Like, there's a process. Let the process happen. Let him enjoy. Let him understand the game. Like, you don't really gotta. Oh, he needs to play bar. He needs to. No. Like, damn near most NBA players from 2006 and below.
Yeah.
Damn near probably played JV the freshman year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, making varsity, you already had to be developed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're 6'8" now, how old are you your freshman year? 6'1"?
I'm about 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah, that's what I said. You're still growing, so you're not who you are yet.
Shit, I was 5'7".
I was 5'10".
Yeah, I was like 6'1". Yep.
I was 5'7" trying to try out for varsity at Crenshaw. I told my dad, like, what are we doing here? Like, this shit is embarrassing. Like, what am I supposed to be doing out here with these grown-ass men? Nothing with a state championship.
Grown.
But then, obviously, I grew up, whatever.
Days,
but
though.
I obviously became an All-American at Inglewood. You told a story that Roy Williams pulled out to the game at Compton. And that's where you knew. But I want to know,
he was all
the coaches that came
dude
to see you.
He was the only white dude at the game. I promise you. At Compton, it was standing room only. You had gangbangers everywhere. I'm talking about, this is the craziest environment you ever want to get. Inglewood playing in a playoff game against the men's at Compton College. Man, people were scared to go to that game.
Yeah.
Because it could jump off, you know. He was in there with his suit on. I was like, man, Roy, you a G for that. Because I had a lot of friends that didn't come to that game. They just hung out in the parking lot.
What's so funny is about, like the playoffs. So my junior, we were playing Crenshaw. Mm-hmm. We were playing Crenshaw in the playoffs. So our jersey is orange and white, right? So I wore the Jordan. It was a Jordan, was it the 12s? But the shoes was red and black. It was red and black laces.
That's a no-no.
So I got the black laces. I get the call, say, yo, you can't wear those shoes here. What do you mean I can't wear the shoes? What are you talking about? You can't wear those laces here. You better get all white laces, bro.
Straight up.
You better get white or black
Straight
laces.
Straight up.
I'm like, serious? Like,
you don't understand that city life. Certain codes you have to abide by if you want to be somewhere, hang out, or play ball somewhere.
Yeah. So and I'm over here, like, can I wear an orange uniform? Can we wear an orange uniform? What rules? Like, this is my first time making the playoffs, and I'm like, I can't wear the red light. It's just, they was like, nah.
I was like, all right, man. So I took him out.
Yeah.
All right, you had to. So you end up going to Kansas. I want to know, did Stacy from Menace to Society impact that decision at all? He was, he was the first dude to go to go from the hood to Kansas.
No, I know. A lot of people were saying that. Man, I just truthfully, man, I needed to get away. I had too many bad influences around in my life that I just knew, like, I had to make a decision as a man. And, you know, I thought this was the best decision moving forward because I knew if I had went to UCLA or a USC, you know, stayed close to home, that I wasn't going to be able to accomplish my goals because it was just so many different distractions. And I was a focus, and I knew what I wanted. But I knew I had to go in the middle of nowhere. When I got there, it was just like, all right, I could just focus on hoop. I ain't got to do nothing but go to school and hoop. Whereas at home, you got family members, you got friends want tickets to the games.
Yeah.
They want to come hang out your dorm. Because I seen how it was when I was taking my visits. I seen how they dorms was all popping and they had their friends and they partying all the time. And I was like, I didn't want that. Mm-hmm. I didn't want that.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard, like, especially with West Coast kids, because West Coast kids don't want to leave the West.
Yeah.
They going to stay somewhere around the West Coast. So when you went to Kansas, it was like different, like.
But it was. But, you know, it made it easy. Jock Vaughn was from L.A. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, and then, you know, we was at the L.A. pipeline. Even Scott Pollard was from San Diego.
So it made it
easier for me, you know, having a guy that I kind of looked up to, Jock Vaughn, and talking to him, being he was an L.A. kid. And it made it easier for me to go there.
Because I was going to go to Kansas State.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That was wow. So that was like... I was getting recruited there.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, took my visit, and they were like, yo, we're going to give you 1,000 minutes as a freshman. I'm like, shit, I don't know what that means, but that shit sound like a lot of minutes. It sounds like a lot of minutes, right? So basically, I'm in school there. I'm going to Kansas State, and then, like, DePaul came in and Arizona came in, like, at the, like towards, like, so I'm like, all right, I'll just go visit. I didn't get to go to DePaul because Pat Kennedy's.
So what year did you come out of high school?
99.
Oh, man, once Arizona came knocking, shoot.
Yeah, so Arizona, but the thing with Arizona was different. It was more, since you're so young, we're going to redshirt you.
Oh, wow.
And, okay, so we have Jason Terry. He did the four-year, you know, thing. Then he's the number 10 pick. So we think, we know you're going to be that. So you come here, you're going to be a pro. So I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm gonna be a pro.
Wilson was producing pros.
So like, he's like, you know, all our guards. So they're naming all the guards. Like
all guards.
He's like, you come in our system, you're gonna be a pro. He said, this is who we have coming. Then he named them all Americans. And yeah. I'm like, and then he's like, you know, you're the type of guard we want. So, you know, make a decision. You know, I'm like, all right. So I went on my visit, right? Mm-hmm. There's a pickup game. Michael Dickerson's playing, Reuben Douglas, everybody's at this pickup game.
I played against
I play in a pickup game, killing them.
Felt
I look
good
at, I look at Michael Dickerson, look, so I don't, you know, I don't know. I've looked at Mike D.
And he's the man.
He big as shit. I say, man, you pretty nice, bro. Like, you should try for the basketball team.
But I'm thinking say that.
I'm thinking he's a football player.
You did not say that to Michael Dickerson.
I swear to God, because he was so young.
So at the time, Mike Dickerson was probably in the league.
Yeah, getting buckets.
Yes.
Yeah, no, he was in the league.
And he was coming back.
Yeah, he was coming back.
Play like, pick up with
like,
y'all.
You should play on the team because he was off. That man was yoked. Like, yeah. You don't see basketball players like that. So I'm like, man, you should try for the basketball team, bro. And I was like, yo, you don't know who that is?
Right.
Like, it was like, that's Michael Dickerson. Wait, the NBA player? And so that was like, I'm like, yo, the NBA players is built like that? Oh, no.
It's like, I got to get my weight up.
They built like that, bro. And then I told my dad, I was like, yo, I think I can play there.
Yeah.
Because I've just finished playing. It was NBA players on it, and I was doing all right.
Right.
And then that's what made me. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to shoot for it.
Right.
And then that's what made me make that decision.
That definitely was a guard school. They put us out the tournament. Oh, man, that was sick. That was the year we were supposed to win it. Mike Bibby and Miles Simon.
Yep.
It was nice.
Let's talk about your time in the league. Obviously, everybody's talked at length about the big three. But before they made the trades to get Ray Allen and KG in there, you wanted to actually go to the Mavs, right?
Yeah, man. A lot of people don't even know this. I wanted to go to Dallas. And at the time, I didn't want to be that guy to make a public trade announcement.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't the most popular thing like it is today.
Yeah.
But I was trying to manufacture something to the Dallas, because I just didn't think the Celtics was going to ever turn it around.
Yeah.
Because it was me and Antoine, we was building something, then they tore it down. And I'm like in the middle of my fifth, sixth year, I'm getting better. I'm in the All-Star game every year. And then we going back to rebuilding. And then we had a worst record in the league in 2006, 2007. And I'm like, I'm the oldest on the team, and I'm 27. why I want to play with a bunch of 19-year-olds? You know, like, it's time for me to start getting some love. You know, I'm looking at Kobe, I'm looking at T-Mac, Vince. Y'all all going to the playoffs. Y'all having playoff success. I just want to get in the playoffs. I want a shot. And at the time, the Mavs, they was pushing the button. They was winning 50 games every year. Yep. They was that team that was like, they needed one more player. I felt like could get them over the top because Dirk was Dirk. And I was like, shit, they going to be there. Yep. They get that one dude. And I was like, I think I could be that dude. So I wanted to meet up with Mark Cuban. It never happened. You know, I was pushing the front office, like, you know, on my agent. Like, if I go anywhere, give me to Dallas.
So how good do you think a big three of you, Dirk, and Jason Kidd could have been?
Jason Kidd, it wasn't Jason Kidd.
It would have been
it was Nash.
It would have been Steve Nash.
Oh, Nash was there still.
Was okay. Philly? Yeah, Philly. Like, no.
It would have been Antoine Walker
was over there, too.
No, not at the time.
Not at the time?
Not when I was pushing.
You was pushing after that. So.
Oh, it was Finley. Yeah, you're right. It was Dirk and Finley. And then Nash came. No, he went back to Phoenix at the time.
Yeah. Oh, so you're talking about 2000. Oh, that, yeah. Seven. When y'all was horrible.
Horrible.
Y'all was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all was horrible.
Yeah.
So you and Dirk playing together, how good do you think that squad?
That would have been nasty.
Unstoppable?
That would have been nasty. Oh, man. You would have had two of the slowest players at their position getting buckets.
Half court. You were straight built for playoffs. Yeah. Half court, one-on-one, you on the island by yourself.
Right.
The Paul Pierce cut. Oh, I used to hate that. The Paul Pierce cut. So.
Oh, yeah.
Coming from the weak side. Like
that was unstoppable.
Yeah, dog. That's what it was called, the Paul Pierce cut. Like,
a lot of people don't know. They don't know. I got an old play name that the whole NBA started running.
Yep.
Paul Pierce. Got to talk about you and Kobe. You know, y'all had some truly epic battles going at each other. What do you remember most from those times? What's your favorite memory of going up against Kobe?
Well, I'm going to tell you, our best battles wasn't even in the finals. It was at UCLA.
In
pickup games. Man, we had some people don't even know about this because, you know, we used to play in the summertime at UCLA. And it used to get kind of like fiery between me and him. Because, you know, we Celtics, we still Celtics and Lakers, but we had some good battles then. But, you know, he was about as competitive as it get. And I always tell the story how competitive Kobe is. When we shot that commercial, the Air Force.
Oh, the Second Coming?
The Second Coming.
Yeah.
We shooting that commercial. So I'm one-on-one with Kobe, right? And, you know, this is a commercial. We acting, mm-hmm. You know. They like, make a move, you know, he gonna make a move. So I'm making the move, he ripped me. I'm like, I look at him like, hey. So I make a move again, you know, kind of like, lackadaisical. He knocked the ball out again. I'm like, dude, this is a commercial. We trying to make it look good. And so now we're in a full-blown one-on-one. Like sweating, like, but that's just Kobe.
I was at the UCLA games.
Man.
So when I was in high school, it was like my sophomore, junior year. I'm going up there, right? Because I'm playing at, you probably know, Valley College. So it's like little pros, like little like overseas guys that come. And I was like, you know what? You're getting to the point where you need to go to UCLA and coach them. So I'm coming to UCLA, right? You, Barron, Jelani Gardner's there, like Rush. Like, so I'm going, and I'm just watching, like, Skip to Malou, like, all y'all, like, my sophomore and junior year never got in.
Yeah.
No, hell no. Not even when y'all left. I used to just sit there 2 years straight, and I'm just, like, there.
I was going up there in high school, too. I was the top player by my senior year, and so they didn't let me play the first few times. Then they finally let me play, and I balled. And then I remember I went up to dunk on Olden Polynes and I called foul, right? He was like, that ain't no foul. He was like, who is you? I said, yes, it is a foul. Then now he's running up at me. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm in high school. Like, what am I doing here? I was like, I don't want no problem, dog. Oh, here, you got it. Yep. I was like, now it's my first taste of the league right there. Yep. Oh, man, he was about to whoop my ass.
Yeah, Mitchell Butler put me on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mitchell Butler is like my senior year. Mitchell Butler, like, because they were trying to get the game started. Because, you know, like, the sorrier players want to get that first game in.
Get it in before everybody show
before
up.
Y'all build y'all team before they your quarterback. Before that team get built. So he was like, hey, young fella, come with me. Like, all right. You know, I'm like, right. I finally made it, bro.
Right. Reggie Theus put me on.
Oh, bro.
Yep.
The legend. So, obviously, you played with Doc with the Celtics. Y'all didn't get along at first, but it ended up working it out. Now James Harden going to the Sixers, going to be in a similar situation. What advice would you give James Harden about playing for Doc?
Ooh, man, I mean, I grew with Doc. You know, see, that was the thing. But the thing about James, I truly think he respects Doc. I don't think he respects Steve Nash, you know. And then his time in Houston just got old. You know, when you play for a team so long and it just y'all don't make it, it's just like, but I just don't, he gonna respect Doc. And Doc is going to do everything in his power to try to make them two work. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, when I look at that, Embiid right now is the best big in the game. But I'm like, if I had a chance to play with the talent that Harden played with, I'd probably be walking out here with 5 championships. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't play with Chris Paul, Westbrook, Kevin Durant, Dwight Howard, Kyrie Irving. Now you playing with Jim, like you talking, you played against with all Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that ain't worked yet.
You know what it is? Is it's different than when we played, right? Because we played and we had to adapt to different offenses, because he's never had to adapt, he don't have the off the ball scoring, he don't have those plays. He has to play, give me the ball at the top of the key. I'm going to play the ISO ball. I'm going to do that. That's his scoring 99.9% of the time. So he don't have balls that way. I'm backdooring weak card. I'm going to post. I'm going to catch it at the elbow. He don't have off the ball scoring and don't know how to do it. So if the offense isn't ran like that, I don't know. I don't think he can actually play with that. So he's going to always be unhappy.
Always.
He's going to always be unhappy because he doesn't, I don't know if he's ready to compromise his game and say, you know what, let me learn how to backdoor and come off down streets and come off.
It's too late.
And I think it's too late for it.
Like, how old is he now?
32.
You ain't going to learn that now.
And that's what I said, it's not going
to
learn.
It's like if you try to go into practice and say, James, I need you to get out on a break. I need you to get to this mid, I need to spot up in the corner. Have you ever seen him do all of that?
No.
It's too late for that.
And that's the problem that he's going to have with Embiid. You guys technically are both wanting to do the same thing. Catch a ball at the top of the key, Embiid want to pump fake, do all that. You want to bounce, bounce, bounce. Y'all are clashing. That is going to be a clash. What ends up happening is one of them is going to say, yo, hey.
Well, it's going to be brand new at first. So they're going to have their first run. They win it, everything is great. They're going to say they lose. They're going to come back, like, all right, this is going to be the adjustment this year. Mm-hmm. If that shit don't start working the following year, you see James probably going somewhere else.
Yeah, what's so funny is, shit, he didn't sign his extension, so he going to get a taste of it the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And realize, because you got to remember, we're talking, everybody talking about they had championships, they favorite, not realizing,
nah.
It's only you two.
Nah.
So because the way you two play, Tobias, you don't even know it yet. Your game is about to be done. It's going to be one-on-one and then one-on-one. There's not going to be, there ain't no seconds for you right now. So what ends up happening is everybody's going to be cut out of this offense to try to take these two that they don't have a team.
Which team got better to you? Out of the Philly?
Brooklyn.
You think they got better?
Because they got that defense now. Now you got better defenders now. So now you got better defenders, you have better shooters. So what ends up happening is with Ben Simmons, KD don't actually have to play defense. So you don't have to guard LeBron, KD. You don't have to guard Greek the Freak.
Let Ben do that. Let Ben take on that. So because Ben is a defensive player,
let's get him more versatile.
He can guard 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So with that being, that is such a great mobile piece that, like, offense, you're not worrying about offense because you got KD, you got, you know, Kyrie. You got enough offense to win games. You didn't have enough defense to stop players. Now you can actually stop players on defense. So now with Blake Griffin, he's not a liability anymore. Just throw Ben in there. Ben, you guard him. Ben, at the five, you guard a small five. Like, you can defensively, I think it changed him now.
Yeah.
Actually helps him in the half court. That's the only thing. And then you have a playmaker. So you basically have a more versatile Draymond Green.
Yeah.
You know, you don't got to – he ain't trying to score 30, so you don't have to worry about the offensive part. Yeah. He's going to make that extra play, extra moves. But from there, it's the defensive side, and it gets to clean you up defensively.
Right. I just think my thing is, he got the skill, but what about his mentality? You know, to see him quit because somebody said something about him. Now
– But it's like, not someone. It's
– Like, I mean –
But okay,
what about the is that a championship mentality?
Okay, so let's take it back. Now let's say you play with Rondo. What happened with Rondo mentally? You know, when after that, going into that first year, when everybody's like, is he the point guard and this and that, and like mentally he's like trying to prove himself. Now imagine if that came out of your mouth and KG's mouth about him. You know what I mean? This is not like the media saying it. This coming from the person I play with.
I understand.
Like, so you saying you don't need
it? No, it came from Doc.
And Doc. And that coach.
All right, so let me ask you this, Gil. If your coach was like, I don't know, going into the summer, I don't know if he can be the point guard, we can win a championship. What's your mindset?
Trade.
Your mindset ain't like, all right, let me go to the summer, work on my shit.
No, I'm going to work on my shit. But
And I'm going to show them I can be that.
So, I'm out. Think about how we played, right? We're establishing ourselves. We are who we are. And he says, I don't think he's a championship guard. That means most likely you're gonna try to change the offense, you're gonna try to change my game. You're gonna try to change my game, and if it all fails, everyone looking at me.
But y'all had the best record, and they had the best record.
But everybody's looking at you. Gotta remember, once you put that pressure, I don't think he's a championship guard. The pressure's not on Doc anymore. It's on the guard now. So now it's on you to perform. Any failure is on you. So I'm like, you would have did the same thing. Nah, I want that nigga. If they said that MB, Doc was fired. Was fired. If Doc said that about Embiid that summer, Doc was gone. It was what it done, bro. Chill ass about it. But because everybody was against Ben, nobody cared.
Right.
If that was Doc, if that was Embiid,
yeah, they used the perfect scapegoat.
And that's what my whole thing is like. Y'all are complaining about a guy whose job is to get y'all the ball. We know he don't shoot. He's an all-purpose player. Like, just say we need more offense. Like, he knows he fucked up. You ain't got to throw him under the bus. Like, we know.
Threw him right under the bus.
We know we fucked up. Like, damn, I need to fuck up. You know, I need to get better. Let me go into the summer, do my thing, and then, you know. But y'all throw me under the bus. I ain't saying
nothing. Just be blowing my mind. When you watch him in warm-ups, he knocking threes down. Pop, pop. Then he get in the game, I won't shoot it.
I watch him this summer, right? And I'm looking at the mechanics, trying to figure out. He got good mechanics. Shoot the shit out of the ball. Like, I guess when the game start, he's one of the guys that's like,
it's a block.
If he would have shot with the mindset that I don't feel comfortable shooting, we would be talking to him like everyone's doing Westbrook. Man, yo, stop shooting, bro. You messing the team up. At least, it reminds me of Rondo. Rondo took the shots that he know he can make. Like, my job ain't to shoot. My job is to make sure you get the ball, right? Make sure Ray get the ball. What y'all looking at me for? Like, I'm going to take the shots that I take.
Right.
But with Ben, it's like, nah, we need you to score 20. He's like, that ain't my job. My job is if I get a wide open layup. But I think it all came down to that layup that he was already mentally, like, offensively gone.
Checked out.
He was mentally already gone. So you under the basket, it's like, oh, shit, I was right. I was my bad. Like, it just all went downhill. You don't feel comfortable at the free throw line. You know, like, it happens. But nobody's talking about the defensive side. Trae Young wasn't playing well. He shut Trae down. Like, he did his part. Offensively, he didn't help, but let him work on that this summer. You don't throw him under the bus. Like, nobody, like, LeBron James didn't throw what's-her-name under the bus. J.R. Smith, when J.R. Smith got the rebound and dribbled it out.
Oh, yeah, he did. He made him a lifetime meme. What you
they
mean?
They made dope.
When he did like this?
Yeah. But
then you saw the memes about dude going to get the Hennessy?
Yeah.
Nah, that was a lie. You know what? That's almost like the same thing. Think about it. Like, you don't react to your teammate like that
on the court. But you're reacting in real time, though. You're like real, but in the press conference, he did it. Nobody realized we had a timeout. None of us realized that there was this time. We didn't know he was going to get the rebound. Shit, the nigga got the rebound. You know, we all did a part in this because, like, there was nobody saying, like, after the time, if we get the rebound, they miss, call a timeout. No one knew nothing. So, you know, he gets the ball, he dribbles it out. It's like, had a mishap.
Chaos.
But because nobody threw him under the bus, you know, it's...
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't mind outside noise, this, but the people I battle with, you know what I mean? The people that I battle with, like...
I got a ride with you.
Yeah, you hold my secrets, so you know what I'm afraid of. Right, you know, we know Ben's scared. I know that, so I'm not gonna expose that to the public unless I'm just done with you. Period.
That's almost like a code, like a team code.
It's a team code. It's like because we talk, we're with each other so much, and that was my thing from it. Like when people talk about mentally, I'm like, there's no way he can go back. They already broke that code. Like you gotta remember when your teammates, like you, they're a player. Like if my girl's cheating on me, one of the players know. Like, we talk about it, like, damn, man, I don't even know what to do, man. Like, so if he outs me, like, you, damn.
We ain't boys, though.
Yeah, we ain't boys, though, no, bro. I can't, oh, like, you think I'm gonna get in the game and pass you the ball, bro? Nah, man, y'all might as well keep you off the court.
It makes sense.
And that's how it is, because I was like, where do you think he's gonna pass the ball to Embiid? You think he's listening to what Doc's saying?
Like, that's real.
It becomes one of those things, like, if I'm the organization, I don't want him to play. Like, I'm trying to win, and why does he want to win for us?
But at the same time, I ain't going to forfeit millions of dollars either.
You know, come on. They don't have that clause we have. If a player's going through mental stuff, they can't find him. So he didn't lose millions, like they said. They find him that first game, and then they'll find him for practices and stuff, like that he didn't show up to.
Okay.
But our game check is way different.
Right.
So that's the advantage Philly lost. So Philly lost the advantage, like, I'm going to keep, like, you don't want to play, you're going to lose a game check. You know, you make $400,000 for the game, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, you finding me $20,000 because I didn't show up to team practice. Eh.
Right.
You know, $400,000 is big. So once they find them that first time and took that check, y'all got some team doctors around here. Like you start using that, like you can.
For us, it was the back. Yeah, the back. Right? Hey, when a player wanted to check out, I'm like, my back hurt.
He used the back too.
Evaluate the back or nothing. All you do is you get massages or ice. Like, the back ain't got no timetable.
But that's why we're like, when Shaq and them went at him, I'm like, come on, you was a prima donna too. And we all was prima donnas. We just did it different.
We just did it different.
Right. We used back, knee, ankle. We used whatever. The arthritis is kicking in. You know, we used anything that they couldn't check. Back spasms.
The back was the best one.
My IR injury. Because you remember, like, IR.
You can't be saying AR, though.
AR. Oh. I mean, IR, the IR. You remember, we didn't have G League. But we didn't have G League. So those three players on IR, back spasms,
Paul, we appreciate you pulling up, man. Thank you so much for coming through. It's been another episode of No Chill with Gilbert Arenas, one of my favorite to date. We'll be back with more very soon.